Now, if Miss Ava would come forward, she's going to share this morning's scripture.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this." "Well," said teacher, the man replied, "you are right in saying that God is one and there is no one other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Amen. Thank you, Ava. Well, we're just about to finish up our sermon study in the Gospel of Mark. Next week will be the very last in our 12 weeks in the Gospel of Mark. And it's been a wonderful study. We're going to kind of skip over for right now the events of the Passion Week and the crucifixion. We're going to come back to those during Lent and during Holy Week. But so next week, don't be dismayed when we're all the way into the resurrection and the very end of Mark's gospel. But we started 11 weeks ago, with three things to think about when we come into study in the Gospel of Mark. And the first is we approach this scripture with humility, knowing that even though we might be familiar with it, it still has a whole lot to teach us. And as we look closely at it, we're going to learn and grow from what we get out of it if we approach it with humility, which is really kind of difficult when we've read it before, when we believe that we know some of it word for word. You know, it's something that we return to, that we approach it with humility. And the second thing is with reverence. We come with an understanding and a belief that these words are inspired, that they're more than just stories from 2,000 years ago, that these are words that have a living nature to us, that they're divinely inspired, and that they could really work on our lives and meet us where we are. And the third thing, if you might remember from 11 weeks ago, when we approach these holy words, that we do it very prayerfully. And oftentimes when we read scripture, we know that has a way of teaching us how to pray. And so this morning is a really clear example of that there Jesus references a prayer that is ancient, that Jewish people would pray in the morning and in the evening, and it's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God. You know, so we're going to go through that today as a prayer. And we're going to celebrate All Saints. And I always think about All Saints. You know, I grew up thinking about the saints being those that have gone before us. You know, those that our grandparents and great-grandparents and friends, and those that have died and gone on to heaven. But you know, in eternity, we also remember that it includes us. Today, even though we're not perfect people, we're part of the communion of the saints that we believe in. And it doesn't stop there, which is great news, that it continues on to our children and our children's children and our children's children's children all throughout time. So it's a bigger table than the one we see right here. The table stretches out in all directions. And what a beautiful thing that is to think about and to know. And the one thing that all the saints from the past, present, and future have in common is love. That's it, isn't it? It has a flavor to it that's unique to each and every person all along the spectrum of time and space. Love is the constant, the continuous one. Love that comes from God and returns to God. The love that we love because he first loved us. And so today we continue in this in our scripture, and we're in this section of Mark's gospel between chapter 11 and chapter 16, which is a really long section having to do with the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus is debating with the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, in some other gospels. In Matthew, he's called a lawyer who approaches Jesus with a question. And it is a question of importance. Of all the laws, of all the commandments, what's the most important one? And Jesus reaches back into and quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, what's known as the Shema. And he also reaches back into Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which is, "And you should love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus puts those two together. And I wanted to sort of unpack that a little bit today, to look into the Shema and to figure out, you know, some of the depth of what some of those words mean, and how then as we see that and understand it, how we fall short of that love and how we need that redemption of Christ in that way. So the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. The first word here is Shema. Everybody say Shema. Shema. Now the word just means to listen or to pay attention to understand. It's a way of saying don't miss this, you know, red flag this. If you're reading along, you would want to underline it. It's Jesus says something really similar when he says, "Truly I tell you this." You better listen, here it comes. But it's really interesting because in Hebrew there is no special different word for the word obey. So to hear would also mean to do. And maybe if you're a parent, you would say this, you know, you say, you know, "Did you hear me say clean your room?" "Well, yeah, I heard you loud and clear." But did you not hear me?" "Oh, no, I heard you. I was playing my video game. I heard you loud and clear." So we understand this. There's a connection between doing and hearing. Hearing and doing. Like two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing. Breathing in, breathing out. Hearing and doing. And so when Jesus sees that, and when God over time sees they're disobeying, they're not listening, they're not doing. It's that phrase that's used over and over again: those with ears to hear, or they have ears to hear, but they don't listen. And so we kind of get a little flavor of that. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God." So the word love is in Hebrew is ahava. Everybody say the word ahava. Ahava. This is love that's part of God's character and returns to God. And when I was looking at all the different times in the scripture that this is used, there was a scripture that kind of came to the surface that I hadn't really seen or paid too much attention to, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'm going to read from the Message translation about this ahava. "So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this: live in his holy presence in reverence, follow the road he sets out for you, love him, serve God, your God, with everything you have in you, obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today." And the Message says, "Live a good life." Live a good life. A life of love, a life that'll be remembered in that way. Whenever we fall short and we sin, it stems from a lack of love of God and our neighbor. I did a little prayer walk this week, and I tried to think of and confess all the sins in my life, or all the sin that I could think of. And really, it stems from not loving God with our whole hearts, not loving our neighbor as ourself. If there is a sin that doesn't have to do with one of those two things, then see me after, and Let me know what that is, but I believe they all stem from not loving the way we should. And later on today, when we come forward for communion, before we come forward, we'll say a prayer of confession, and it has to do with that. Lord, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. And then there's a free us for joyful obedience. Help us to not only listen to what you say, but do what it is that you're asking, because those two are connected. So love the Lord with all of your heart. The word heart in Hebrew is lev. It looks like a V, but it's a B. And the way they would say it is say it twice. Lev, lev. Can you say that? Say it a few times. Sounds like heartbeat. That's probably an onomatopoeia. It's probably where they got that word, is listening to somebody's heart. But this word for heart, it means more than the organ in your body, of course. Even though there is a mention of a heart attack in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 25, verse 37, Nabal has a heart attack. It says, Nabal's heart died within him, and he became like a stone, and the Lord struck him down 10 days later. There's this instance of a heart attack happening in the Bible. But we know that when the Bible talks about our heart, it's the center of emotion, of will and desire. You know, great, the Psalms talk about sadness in the heart or joyfulness happening in the heart. And then as we get a little farther, we know that it's the desire of your heart. Jeremiah believed that the heart was corrupt. He said, who could save us from this corrupt heart, as he watched Jerusalem burn. David, after committing great sins, he wrote in Psalm 51, God, create in me a pure heart, a new heart. Give me a new heart. And then later in Jeremiah, he speaks of a time where God will write his commandments on our hearts so we will all know who God is. I love the proverb. This will tell us a little bit more about the importance of the heart. There is a proverb, Proverb chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is our will and our desire. The next word is nephesh, to love God with all your heart and all your soul. Now, I thought my whole life that this word soul, when you hear this word soul, especially in the Old Testament, it has to do with that part of your body that's not physical, that maybe goes to heaven when you die, or it's like a spirit. But in Hebrew, this word for soul doesn't mean that at all. You know what it means? It means throat. It's the word nephesh. Everybody say nephesh? And then point to your throat. This is the nephesh. Now, it really makes sense because when it's mentioned in the Bible, it would say, you know, it's like a living being. And God talks about the living soul or the living nephesh, which really means throat. Jacob's family had 33 nephesh in the family. And it's this idea that, like, without it, without this ability to breathe in and out, then you are no longer going to be you. And so it's this idea of throat or maybe physical being, physical nature. And so with all that means, all of its limitations and capacities, to love God with that. In Psalm 42, it's mentioned, and maybe you'll hear it in a different way, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my nephesh pants for you, my God. My nephesh thirsts for God, for the living God. And then the last word, that we're to love the Lord our God with our will, our desires, and the heart, with our physical being, with all of our capacities and limitations. And then the third thing, Jesus actually uses two words to unpack this. He says our mind and our strength. Well, the Greek word for strength would also mean power, but the Hebrew word for strength doesn't mean strength at all. And it's my favorite of all the words in the Shema. Jesus kind of puts those two words together to unpack the meaning, but it's the word miod. Everybody say the word miod. Miod's translated as strength, but it doesn't really mean strength the way we think about it. And what it means is it's an adverb, and it means very or much. So we're to love God with our muchness, which kind of makes sense, right? And the, where this is used in the Bible, it's used from the very beginning when God creates. He creates the world. He calls it good. He creates them. He calls it good. But when he creates people, he wants to say it's very good or miod good, right? It's miod good. And it's used over and over in the Bible to amplify a word to its full extent of that word. So when something is really, really, very, very good, it's miod good. Like Colonial Hills is a miod good congregation. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So it's miod good. And so we're to love God with all of our muchness. And you think about somebody that you know and you think, that person I know is a bit much. Yeah. But imagine them loving God with that flavor, with that muchness. With not only their will, their desires, not only their physical body, where I bring my body, where what happens to my body, I love God with that. And also my mind, my power working together, my muchness, and to love God, and also to love others, to love other people as we love ourselves. That's the heart of the commandment. And once again, it's two sides of the same thing, like listening and obeying, two sides of the same coin. It's the same with loving God and loving our neighbor. It's like a breath in and a breath out. They go together in that way, in loving God and loving neighbor. Those who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind and their strength, they love God, they love their neighbor as themselves. It goes together in that way. We celebrate that love, that specific way that others have touched us, especially those that have lived their lives and in love, and then that love doesn't go away when they die. That love is eternal. And it's eternal in Christ Jesus because, you know, when I see this command, if that was it, I have this really, really sinking feeling that I don't do that well, that I don't make the cut, that there are times when I fail to love the way that I'm supposed to love my God, my neighbors, the people around me, anybody that I see, that my life might be defined by a whole lot of other things besides love, and that should come first. And so that I have to confess that on a daily basis and know and trust that it's not because of my ability to love. It's because of God's love for me. And so we get these little glimpses of what that looks like in our life, but today we understand that there's a bigger picture and an eternal picture of this love, and it's all because of the love of Christ Jesus that we get to celebrate that we get to celebrate together that these lights continue to live on in us, that even though our family members, they die, they go to be with the Lord, and we trust in that. I always think of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. This faith that the assurance of things we hope for, it's the conviction of things that we don't even see. And then we get this list all through Hebrews 11. I hope you go home and read it today. Read it at lunch. You read Hebrews chapter 11. It's all the folks that are the Bible stories are about, you know, and it's like this hall of faith. And you get this sense that they're on the sidelines watching us live our lives faithfully. And then Hebrews 12 says, so we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that we lay down our sin and all the things that so easily entangles and ensnares us so that we might run the race with perseverance, looking to Christ Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we'll celebrate when we come forward, that light that continues to live in each one of us.